You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning and welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. Today, Catholic Schools Today. It's 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. Wayne Magyar is in for Father Greg Sackowitz this morning, who's feeling just a little under the weather. He tells me he'll be back in the saddle and stronger than ever by Friday. And thanks for joining us this morning. We are coming to you live from our brand new studios at the Archbishop Quigley Center on the corner of Rush and Pearson, and a dandy setup it is here. Our telephone number is a new one, in case you don't know. It is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. The Catholic Schools program today, joined by a full house of exciting, energetic, bright-faced youngsters ages 9 to 13 from St. Alphonsus, or from Alphonsus Academy. For over 120 years, actually, Alphonsus Academy has been providing a Catholic education to students in the Lakeview area. In 2002, the Parish Council, Finance Council, and the School Board decided to change its name to the Alphonsus Academy and Center for the Arts. The name change brought a new focus on integrating arts into the core academic areas, and since the change, school leaders have worked to use the arts as a vehicle to create new learning opportunities and increase the academic achievement for its students. One way that mission is advanced is with the school's choir, which we are joined by this morning, and Scott Arkenberg is in his second year as director of the Alphonsus Academy Choir. Scott, good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Catholic Schools Today. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
You sound so bright and energetic, and your voices are terrific. We got a small sampling of your talents just before we went on the air, so you're going to be singing for us a number of Christmas songs in the next half hour of the program. But Scott, let's start with you. How did the choir begin as part of this new exciting enterprise at Alphonsus Academy?
Well, we wanted an extracurricular activity that the kids could participate in. They do such a great job normally in music, and they love to sing. So we decided 2 years ago to put this little group together and see who would come. And we opened it up for 4th through 8th graders. And we got about 30 students the first year.
And practice every week, every day?
Last year they practiced 3 times a week during their lunch period, actually.
Wow, that's for dedication. For half an hour. Giving up part of your lunch to sing, huh? That's pretty good.
Well, they loved it. This year, Wednesday is a little three-quarter day because the rest of the teachers go for professional development. And the kids come down after school when they could be at home to practice for an hour. So it's a little different this year, but they're enjoying it.
Okay, now we want to talk to a few now. Jack, step up to the microphone. How do you like singing, Jack?
Well, I like singing because, well, it's kind of a way to express your feelings, and it's kind of nice.
Did you sing before this choir? Did you like sing at home to your brothers and sisters? And were you always kind of looking to sing? Did you enjoy it a lot?
Yeah, because my mom always loved to sing, so I thought to give it a try, and I really like it.
Good. Well, you guys sound terrific, and without further ado, why don't we ask Scott to lead the choir in the first of 4 songs this morning, and I think it's going to be Silent Night, right?
It's going to be Silent Night.
terrific. You guys are terrific. Now, when did you start practicing for your Christmas concerts?
Actually, in October. We did it right away. They sing usually for Mass once a month on the first Saturday for family Mass. But we were putting in the music that they had to sing for the performance in between everything else that they were doing.
And Holiday Pops was at the Harris Theater just this past Wednesday.
Past Wednesday night.
And another Christmas concert coming up tonight.
The school concert is tonight, and first through eighth grade performs tonight from 7 till about 8:15.
Okay, let me ask Sania back there in the second row. Come on up here, Sania. How do you like singing with the choir?
I like singing with the choir a lot. It's really fun, and you get to hang out with your friends while you're doing it.
So it's not only just singing, it's kind of getting to know everybody and getting to be a better singer, right?
Yeah, and we also, while we're doing something that we love, we get to travel around Chicago.
Okay, cool. Now, do you like singing as much as you like school?
Yes.
Totally. Good answer. What's your favorite subject?
My favorite subject is probably art.
Okay, so you like the arts. You like drawing and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you want to sing maybe professionally or at least sometime later on in life to get maybe part of a singing group or something?
Totally.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of music do you listen to?
All different kinds of music.
Okay. Any particular favorite? Just like all kinds of music.
Yep.
That's good. Diversity is good. It's good to listen to all kinds of music. Now, how many students in here listen to music a lot? And what kind of music do you listen to? Like classical,
yeah.
Pop, country? Yeah. Did somebody say country? Really? All right. Country. We got some country listeners in here. That's good. Okay. Now, Scott, that's kind of a dimension of being part of a choir that's important. Is it just a passion for music, right? All kinds of music and being open to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it touches the heartstrings when you sing, you know, that emotion that comes forth. And it's funny that when we sing probably the most sensitive pieces, the softer ones, the ones that have a real beautiful melody and just are just so beautiful, they tend to love that so much more than the rousing jingle bells, which they sure sing well too, but it's those little soft, sensitive ones that bring it home to them.
Yeah, and I would imagine that being part of a choir like this is not only musical experience, but it's also a terrific way for the students to kind of get to know one another a little better, to really, and this is, I think, what Alphonsus Academy is doing with its new direct admission, is a passion for the arts that really translates also into a passion for academics and just doing well in your studies overall.
Absolutely, because I think, you know, when they come from a choir practice or from a performance, they're on a high and they're just open to doing all sorts of learning. One of the beautiful things that I love about the choir in particular is that it's a bunch of age groups. So it's 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's 5 levels of kids. It's sort of like a little family, a small microcosm of the larger school community. And the older kids nurture the younger kids. The younger kids bring some joy. Some of the kids get in and out of line from time to time, as kids will do, and there's always somebody that can help out.
We're going to take a break, but as we go into the break, we'll ask you to do another song for us, please. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Alphonsus Academy and Center for the Arts Children's Choir.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on 950 AM, Relevant Radio. Wayne Magyar is from Loyola University for Father Greg Sackwitz this morning. Thanks for being with us. Our telephone number, 312-255-8408. It is a new number because we are in a new location over at the Archbishop Quigley Pastoral Center on Rush and Pearson, 312-255-8408. We're joined in the studio this morning with a bright, energetic group of 19 youngsters from Alphonsus Academy. They are the Alphonsus Academy Children's Choir, and also Scott Arkenberg, who is the choir director. And Caitlin, you're one of the older members of this choir, right? 13 years old?
Yes.
How did you get started in singing? Is this your first experience with a choir, or have you done it before?
Actually, this is my second year.
Second year, okay.
Yeah.
And how did you start? Did you think you just wanted to learn how to sing and just get better, and you figured you'll give it a try?
I always liked Mr. Arkenberg's music class, so that's kind of why I started choir.
Okay. Do you play an instrument, too?
I'm learning violin.
You are. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you play instruments? Okay, so quite a bit.
Everybody.
What kind of instruments do we play? Just shout it out.
Recorder.
Guitar.
Guitar?
Piano. Okay, piano. All right, so that's good. So do you think that playing an instrument helps, or learning how to play an instrument helps you sing?
Yeah.
A little better, do you?
Yeah, I think it gives you a little more of an idea how the note sounds.
Okay.
If you're having trouble with a specific note.
Okay. Now, do you think you want to sing professionally someday? Or?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow, no hesitation there. Okay, good. And as part of a choir, individually, Star Search, what do you think?
Part of a choir.
Part of a choir. Okay, terrific. Well, you sound terrific. All you sound terrific. So thank you very much, Caitlin. Scott, I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
Part of the one of the dimensions of Alphonsus Academy is a relationship that the Academy has with the Chicago Arts Partnership in Education. Can you tell us a little bit about what that does and how that helps?
Sure. It's a professional organization that we invited into the school last year because they have a longstanding record with involvement with schools integrating the arts. And they're a group of professionals led by, I forget if whether it's two or three leaders that formed this several years back. They will come in and they'll work with individual teachers in the classroom to plan something that's integrated in the arts and into the curriculum. It could be a four-week, a six-week, a semester project, and it culminates in some sort of a program or a display. We just started something just last month with the preschool, and it's on health. So they're learning about their bodies, and they were able to look at x-rays, and we did shadows of the children in different figures on the wall, and they did sculptures. And so they're learning about their health, proper eating, but they're doing fun things as well that's integrated with the program.
So this is really a way to integrate the arts with everything that goes on in the classroom.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of the dimension
and
here.
It's nice to bring in somebody from the outside, because I think sometimes we have great arts instructors at the school, but when you bring somebody in from the outside, it sort of affirms what you're doing inside. Yeah.
Now, Allison Higgins is here, too. She is one of the voices you hear in the background. Allison, you're a parent volunteer for with the choir. A lot of parents involved in doing the work of the choir?
Not necessarily with the choir. We have a really strong parent support, though, at our school.
Okay.
I sang in college and in high school, and it was just something I really wanted to do.
Okay. And that's nice to see that the parents are getting involved in the education and the choirs and various things going on, because it's good for the students to see their parents getting engaged, and I imagine it's nice for the parents to kind of get immersed in their students' academic life, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Good. Well, thank you for being here. You sound great. All right, we have another volunteer, Justin. Where's Justin? Justin, come on up to the microphone. How do you enjoy singing with the choir? Do you like it?
Yes, I do.
How long have you been doing it? Just this first year?
My first year.
First year, okay. And do you think you want to sing professionally at some day? Or you're the guy who likes country music, right?
Yeah.
All right. Who's your favorite country artist?
Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney's good. There's a couple other country stars here. All right. So someday when you become a big country star, remember this interview and remember me, because I'm going to call you for good tickets to your concert. Fair enough?
Yep.
And remember Alphonsus Academy.
And remember Alphonsus Academy, too. It's part of your philanthropic.
Absolutely. Support that great arts program.
All right. Well, thank you, Justin. We're going to do another song?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Sure.
The Alphonsus Academy Children's Choir.
O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. Now, where's Annie? Annie, come on up here. You know, I was watching you during this last song. You got a big smile on your face. You're really excited about singing. You really like this, don't you?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Now, did you sing before this choir? Have you done any singing?
I sang last year, and I love singing because it's like one of my favorite things to do.
Okay, do you sing like around the house in class?
Yeah.
Do you sing to your friends?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's your favorite kind of music?
I don't really have a favorite. It's kind of a mix of everything.
Okay. Favorite artists? Favorite singers? Mm-hmm. No?
No.
You like opera? Anybody like opera here?
I like opera.
All right, we got a couple opera likers here. That's a good thing. Think you could sing opera?
No.
No? Yeah, but never say never. You never know, right? Even the best opera stars have started out probably in a choir like this, so, right? Now, practice is hard?
It's not that hard. It depends, like, what song it is, because some of these songs, they're kind of hard to learn, and some of them are really easy to learn.
Okay. Now, do you practice on your own, or you just practice when the choir comes together?
We do both.
Okay.
We sometimes practice at home if we want to, and we can practice together.
Okay. So sometimes you just get together with a few friends and sing in your living room or something.
Yeah.
Right? That's good. And your parents think this is terrific? Think you're a terrific singer?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, that's what you would expect parents to say, is that you're a terrific singer, right? Well, you're terrific. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Annie. Scott, what happens after the Christmas season is over? What's next on the itinerary for this group?
Well, unfortunately, we have a little bit of a downtime, but I always look forward to January and February, because that's when they can really start learning music other than just preparing for a program. The beauty also of this program is that every one of the kids in the choir also sees me during the week for an hour during general music class. So that's where they play recorders. That's where they learn notes. That's where they sing lots of fun songs, folk songs and Halloween songs and all sorts of stuff. So it's a good time. January and February is a great time to look forward towards the future. And then we'll do a spring program.
Okay. And the spring program will have different kinds of different genres of music?
It's within the context of the curriculum that we have there. So each grade sings two or three songs. And the choir will probably sing, now that they're a little more prominent this year, a big chunk of the program, probably about 15, 20 minutes worth of music.
Okay. Now, next year, how many are going to come back and sing in the choir? That's 100%. Excellent. That's very good. Where's Daniel? Daniel, come on up. Daniel, you too had a big smile on your face. You enjoy singing, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you – this is your first year on the choir or your second?
Second year.
Second year. Okay. And you started last year.
Yes.
And do you think you guys are getting better?
Yeah, I think we're really improving.
Okay. And what kind of music do you like to sing?
Well, I like all kinds of music, classical, rock.
Okay, so you're pretty diversified in your musical taste. That's good. And do you think you would like to eventually stay in singing and maybe make a
definitely.
Career out of it? Or you do?
Well, maybe not a career, but definitely staying in the choir.
Stay in it. Okay. Now, the choir sings for Mass at St. Alphonsus periodically, right?
Correct.
And how do you like doing that?
Well, it's fun. It's one of the best parts to, you know, worship at Mass, but also sing while you love to sing.
Okay, great. And have you made a lot of friends part of the choir?
Yeah,
crew?
I have.
So that's a good thing. So it's not only singing, but it's also getting to know your fellow students better and doing things in the classroom and in the choir, so that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you're terrific. Well, thank you very much, Daniel.
Daniel had kind of an interesting thing because the parents were able to sing in the Holiday Pops concert last week, and so Daniel's mom sang with the big adult choir along with Daniel, so it was special.
How many parents sing here? Your parents sing a little bit. A few. Okay, so a couple. All right, so you come from musical families? Okay.
Yeah,
all right. And what other kinds of activities? Inside the classroom, there's the choir. Are there band activities, other things like that for the students?
We started a string program this year with one of the mothers, who's a professional violin string teacher. Mm-hmm. So she offered that this year. We have a great art program with Meltem Oktosh. She's an iconographer, redid the chapel at Loyola and also at DePaul University, and she brings her talents and gifts, of course, to the kids. And as well on the art staff, we have a fabulous dance instructor, Katia Borione, and she's a dancer herself. Teaches the kids to dance. And again, for the concert last week, this little group of singers also put on their dancing shoes, and we recreated the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers for the audience. And one of the kids' moms, Valerie Grandi, actually made all the costumes for the kids.
Oh. So everybody gets involved.
Oh, my goodness. I think this is
That's
one of
terrific.
The best parents-based group that I've ever seen at a school.
That's terrific. It's really exciting not only to see the arts getting infused into the academic experience of the students, but to see not only the external resources that you use, but the parents getting involved and just some tremendous things happening. So we're going to ask you to sing us out of the program this morning. I want to say to all of you, you're all terrific. You have, unfortunately for our listening audience this morning, they can't see the bright big smiles on your faces when you're singing. But you all not only sound terrific, but you look terrific. Have a very Merry Christmas, a terrific 2009. Keep singing. Stick to it. You guys are all terrific. And Scott, thanks very much for being here. Allison,
our pleasure.
Thank you for joining us this morning. So singing us out of this segment of the program this morning for the encore presentation, the Alphonsus Academy and Center for the Arts Children's Choir.
You ready? So we've been a while a wandering. Ready?
We've been a while a wandering among the fields so green, and now we come a wassailing so plainly to be seen. For 'tis Christmas time and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year. We are not daily beggars that beg from door to door. We are your neighbor's children whom you have seen before. For 'tis Christmas time and we travel far and near. May the mistress also, and all the little children around the table go. For 'tis Christmas time, and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with three sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Majars from Loyola University along for the ride this morning for Father Greg Sakowitz, who will be back with us on Friday. And our telephone number is area code 312-255-8408 as we come to you from the new Archbishop Quigley Pastoral Center on the corner of Pearson and Rush in Chicago. This segment of the program, we're going to be talking about an exciting new relationship between Notre Dame High School for Girls and St. Ferdinand School. As many of you know, as the landscape of Catholic education changes, Catholic schools throughout the Archdiocese and indeed the nation are taking a new look at ways to collaborate together, integrate their resources in order to continue to provide the very best educational opportunities for students. One such collaboration will begin here in Chicago in August of next year when St. Ferdinand School, which is a co-ed pre-K through 8 elementary school, and Notre Dame High School for Girls will combine campuses or share campuses at 3131 North Mason. Joining us this morning to talk about this new exciting adventure is Dr. Lucine. Is it Mastelers?
Mastelers.
Mastelers.
Everybody calls me Dr. M.
Dr. M. It works for me. They call me Mr. M, too. Principal of St. Ferdinand School, and Kelly Jones. That one I can
much
handle.
Much easier.
President of Notre Dame High School for Girls, Lucine and Kelly, good morning, and thanks for being
good
with
morning,
us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Lucine, let's start with you. How did this start? Where the discussions that led to where we're going to be in August?
It started in late summer, early fall, in some very simple conversations about the fate of schools and other ways to do things besides just close schools.
Okay. Now, you were principal or still are principal of St. Ferdinand School. So from St. Ferdinand's perspective, what were some of the motivating issues that kept you at the table to talk about how you might work with?
There were none. We're fine.
Okay.
We are one of the stronger schools on the northwest side, and we have a new building campaign, added an addition a year 10 years ago, and we have state of the art. So we really are very, you know, don't get me wrong, I'd love new students. Anybody's welcome to come. But at the same point, we are very good. I was an advisor to Notre Dame High School this year. Every time you have a new principal, you normally take on a mentor or an advisor, and that's how we began to talk.
Okay. Kelly, how about from the perspective of Notre Dame High School for Girls? What's this going to mean?
Well, we are really looking for a way that we could continue our legacy or the educational philosophy of our founder, St. Julie Billiard. And as times, you know, have changed, all girls Catholic education, looking for a way that we could revitalize ourselves and stay strong while in the same notion keeping our history and our legacy alive. And Dr. M came to me and said, I kind of have this idea. And I said, I was thinking of the same thing. Why don't you come to Notre Dame? And she said, oh, no, come see my building. Come to St. Ferdinand's. And we went over. Completely state-of-the-art building, great way for us to move ourselves there, maintain our legacy, and at the same time educate our students for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
What's it going to be like in August? The two of you are going to be operating out of the same building, right?
Correct.
At St. Ferdinand's, but you're going to also have, in effect, retain your distinctive identities as two separate institutions.
Correct.
So separate classroom floors, entranceways, those types of things. And
yes.
That was important for both of you because you both have strong histories and traditions.
Absolutely.
That you wanted to continue to maintain, right?
In fact, we went to the alderman, and he got us in touch with the Postal Service, mm-hmm. and Notre Dame has their own address. They're okay. going to be 3115 North Mason,
okay.
just for that same identity.
I should know this, but I don't, so I'll ask the question, Kelly. What's happening to where you're moving from?
To the building itself?
Yeah.
This is the hardest part for all of us. It's a beautiful building. We love it. What the sisters, as they have done so long, have been involved in Chicago and really looked at the building and said, okay, we can't continue to do this. We're going to transfer sponsorship to the Archdiocese and to St. Ferdinand's, which means, in essence, that they will sell the building. In the meantime, we're hoping that we can hang on to it and use it for their gymnasium, certain retreats, alumni events and reunions that may or may not be possible.
I see, okay.
But
so there's a sponsorship shift on
Absolutely.
The part of Notre Dame.
Yes.
Okay.
Same right. philosophy and mission founded
right.
you know, by the sisters, but it will become an archdiocesan school under St. Ferdinand Parish.
Okay. And that is not unusual. I mean, that has happened before with a lot of Catholic schools as religious order numbers have decreased,
mm-hmm.
as resources have diminished. And maintaining that identity of the founding order falls to the laity
mm-hmm.
who have become immersed in the charism of the founding orders, and so it's going to work. It's not like this is the first time that's happened, right?
No, it's not the first time. Hopefully, it's not the last. It's a great model, and why not share resources?
Right. Now, Dr. M, from the standpoint of St. Ferdinand School, you have how many students there now?
Almost 300.
300. Okay. And will you be able to grow, or are you going to continue to
we
stay
can,
the same
We can
number?
Double, and so can Notre Dame.
Okay.
The school, even before the new addition, which was a three-story building, housed in its heyday 1,100. Now, that's back in the days when they had 40 and 50 kids in the classroom. But even at our capacity right now is over 900. So at this point, we can grow both schools without even making any internal renovations to add more internal space that we have.
Are there going to be shared spaces for the two schools within the...
There'll be a couple of common. I'll give you a good example. Right now, we share a gym teacher. That's kind of what started this.
Absolutely.
Is I went over... I use Notre Dame's gym teacher in the morning. Hmm. And then she leaves at lunch and goes in the afternoon. And so I'd gone to settle for the first quarter of the salary, and that's kind of where this whole conversation happened. But in the meantime, what we can see is the same kind of a thing, where Notre Dame will use the gym half a day, and St. Ferdinand will use a gym half a day. We have a library, a two-tiered atrium library. The second story will be renovated into some of the facilities for the high school, because they have some unique needs for themselves.
Sure.
But it'll be commonly shared throughout at different periods.
Well, you're to be commended because that concept of sharing resources, even if they're just rooms and mm-hmm. physical plant, is not one that is warmly received. Let's put it that way. I mean, speaking from my own institution, to try to get a couple of departments to talk about using a similar conference room, and sometimes is a struggle. So that's a good thing. It's going to be good for both schools. You're going to hopefully realize some economic benefits to those kinds of things as well, and you'll be able to still maintain your identities and grow into the future.
Yeah. It's the spaces that we're sharing, the young women of Notre Dame are extremely excited, just as I think the children of St. Ferdinand's are. The common areas will be a great learning experience for both groups coming together, and the areas that will be separate, where they mostly do their socializing, the cafeteria, the entrance, the exit in the morning and p.m., it's the perfect separation.
Does Notre Dame get students from St. Ferdinand?
We do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that a big portion of your class? Or?
No. We get a few here or there, but I think it's maybe 3 or 4 on average per year.
Okay. Our school goes to 9 different Catholic high schools.
Ah, okay. All right. And for Notre Dame, will this new arrangement allow you to grow? Do you want to stay pretty
Absolutely.
Much the same? You are.
And okay. We're at 230 right now. I think ultimately, talking with Dr. M, we'd like the school to be at 400. Keep it small, at least 25-to-1 student-teacher ratio. Would love to see it grow to 400 and maintain 400.
400 to 600.
Okay, good.
She aims higher than I do.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Our guest this morning, we're talking about the new arrangement between Notre Dame High School for Girls and St. Ferdinand School with Dr. M and Kelly Jones from St. Ferdinand School and Notre Dame, the two energetic leaders of those fine institutions. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith, Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. And we'll be right back.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North LaSalle Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:41 in the morning on a rather brisk. I hope the two of you didn't have to walk too far this morning because it's a bit chilly out there. Talking about the new joining together of Notre Dame High School for Girls and St. Ferdinand School at their a new campus, integrated campus at 3131 North Mason. St. Ferdinand, for those of you who may not know, is a co-ed pre-K through 8th grade elementary school in Notre Dame High School for Girls, coming together to share building, collaborate on some space, some personnel issues. We were talking, Dr. M, over the break about kind of the transition in this arrangement from both schools, both boards. In Kelly's case, a religious community of sisters that was giving up sponsorship of the school. And you remarked about how important it was to keep the community, the parents, as well informed as possible in communication throughout the process. Talk a little bit about that for us.
Well, because of the process of working with sponsorship of non-archdiocesan, some of the procedures had to first quietly be held clerically and through the cardinal's office. As soon as the cardinal gave his blessings, we then went back to our boards. It's going to be a unique structure. The we're looking at the high school to become a new board of limited jurisdiction, according to the Genesis plan. And my board will stay the way, the school board will stay the way it is right now, because again, both have to lead their separate schools into the future. And so we don't want to merge that so that one need overshadows the other. It's got to begin, be a very unique balance under one pastor, Father Torba.
Sure. And Kelly, from the standpoint of Notre Dame, similar dynamics at play about making sure that not only the interests and fabric of what Notre Dame High School for Girls is all about continues, but that it operates in harmony with this new arrangement with St. Ferdinand.
Absolutely. Our board of directors knew that the sisters were looking to go in a different direction, and Dia Weil, our board chair, extremely supportive of the school, is an alum, wanted to see it succeed, wanted it to be revitalized, said, what can we do? How can we make this creative transition and keep this going? So the board was fully supportive of looking in another direction when the sisters, you know, said, we want to support this, but not ultimately what we have been doing in the past. So our board fully supportive of what we were going to do. It's just it's terrific.
Is it, and I don't mean to be too brutally honest in here, but is this a situation where an institution was facing closure, significant reduction, or so it was either affiliate or perish? I mean, is that a fair statement in this case or not?
Notre Dame has had its challenges. It's made some great strides over the past few years, raising $1.3 to $1.6 million a year, improving our curriculum, done some terrific things. Again, given the economic times, and it isn't a single-gendered school, we were faced with our challenges in declining enrollment. What we knew we had to do was get creative. We never wanted to say we're going to close, but with the sisters saying it's time to step back with our sponsorship, we'll bless you in any direction you want to go to make this to keep this legacy and tradition living on. It was time to get creative. We never got to the point saying we wanted to close, but now we can safely say we can close the Notre Dame Corporation and turn over the legacy toward the future as part of an archdiocese.
And
school.
What seems to me also what's going on here is you both have really strong stories to tell about your respective institutions.
Absolutely.
Now together, you're going to have a story to tell.
Yes.
And that's going to get...
As a partnership.
It's going to get your students mm-hmm. excited about, parents engaged, and you've come with a solution.
Right.
Rather than something that's going to get folks ired and...
In Notre Dame's case, I really look at it as the third chapter. Even though this is a new school as part of the archdiocese, we began in 1938 at St. Peter Canisius, sharing one classroom, 52 kids, four teachers in one classroom. Then we moved into our building, added an addition, and here we are moving our legacy and our tradition again to the next chapter.
You know, I have to say... from the outside looking in, just about the news that goes on in the papers about Catholic schools, had you, Kelly, announced that you were going to close, it would have been on the front page or pretty close to the front page of most Chicago newspapers.
Correct.
I haven't heard much about this affiliation until I was reading the notes for the program over the weekend, and that's too bad.
No news is good news, right?
Well,
We really should, because you know what? This, and I'm not saying it's the perfect model. But it's at least another model because there are, you know, we have high points and low points of enrollment in all the archdiocesan. And this might be a low point, and we have to hold out to the high point again. And just as populations expand and contract. And so sharing resources is going to get you there.
Right.
And
right.
It can't be about personalities. It's got to be about the kids.
And together, you are stronger than just the sum of your two resources coming together.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Do you think that in looking ahead, this could even provide a little bit of a buffer to those ebbs and flows of enrollments? You know, St. Ferdinand's doing really well now, but who knows, 10, 20, 30 years from now. Notre Dame has struggled in the past, but who knows, 10, 20 years from now, right?
Absolutely. Correct. We're developing a world-class curriculum under Dr. M, and it's going to take off. It's going to be a great little section of the community, educational section with St. Pat's across the street.
What did the parents say when they heard about this relationship?
Well, Father Torba, as soon as the announcement was made, then we rolled it out to our parents. We had the meetings the day before with both faculties, and then Kelly met with her students on Thursday. We, of course, have our Thursday telecast. Then we met with any of our parents. My teachers were there to talk with on Friday. I was there if they wanted to come in. But then on Sunday, Father went to all the masses. There are 11 of them, and made the pulpit announcement and stood in the back in case anybody And overall, it was very positive. I'm glad you're doing something. I didn't know we were struggling. I said, well, no, we're not. But at the same time, we want to be strong. Let's not wait till we struggle. There were some concerns, and those we're going to address. In fact, Sister Mary Paul has been very instrumental in helping us work with Father Torb and myself to make sure that as the girls come over, it's a nice time to look at societal issues such as teenagers and what will that do,
Sure.
And
sure.
So we're going to have a task force in the spring to work on some of the issues or concerns. Safety.
And that's great. And it's also encouraging to see how the two of you together orchestrated this, not only within your boards, your respective governing boards, and in your case, Kelly, with the sisters, but also the support and buy-in of Bishop Papraki, of the Cardinal, and making sure that this was done in a thoughtful way, so that when the time came to make the announcement, it was the key constituents, those who had a vested interest in it, understood what it was all about and recognized that the strengths in this.
The only thing is, I wish we would have had another year to do this, so that we could have had pre-meetings with the parish and things of that nature, rather than in the short time frame after an announcement of this is possible and it's going to happen.
Talking about the new shared campus for Notre Dame High School for Girls and St. Ferdinand School with the two leaders of those institutions, Dr. M and Kelly Jones. And you're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio 950 AM. Catholic Schools Today is the program. Wayne Majars, along with for Father Greg Sackwitz, who will be back later in the week, talking this morning about the new shared campus of Notre Dame High School for Girls and St. Ferdinand School. And Dr. M, over the break, we were talking about something that I know makes you passionate, because when I brought up the word curriculum, you moved to the edge of your chair and said, yes, curriculum. This is more than sharing a gym and sharing personnel. This is also about some programmatic opportunities between your two institutions, right?
Yes. as I shared with you, I'm also an adjunct professor at DePaul University, and I teach at their graduate and their doctorate level. At the doctorate level, one of the courses is curriculum design and decision making for superintendents. And so this gave us a wonderful chance because as I do this and I work with other people, they design programs for their schools to take them into the 21st century, to take them into the Generation Z, the technological era. And we have the resources in our building. And Notre Dame High School has the teachers who are capable of so you marry these together. You have online learning. You have long-distance learning. All of a sudden, we've got courses like forensic science built in. We have different types of biologies at different levels because we can use the technology to bring them forth.
And that is so important because I continue. Mm-hmm. I often tell the story at my place. Students now studying in a library who in one ear have their iPod on, in another ear they're listening to something else. They're working on a laptop and probably eating a salad at the same time. Talk about multitasking. But that is absolutely essential in the elementary schools
to
be successful in high schools.
Right. And exactly. Also tomorrow's learners.
Yeah.
We are no longer in a vacuum learning. We are in a collaborative, collegial setting that's got to interface over thousands and thousands of miles. Everything is going to be shared. It's not just the United States. It's a global world that we have to prepare our kids for.
Your educational institution needs to be able to support that learning that they need. I mean, that's St. Ferdinand's can support that.
And in that regard, you're going to be able to learn from one another via your student populations about how, from your perspective, Kelly, what St. Ferdinand is doing that's going to be on the cutting edge because of the strength of the two of you coming together and how that affects the incoming students at Notre Dame.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And allows us to make all kinds of different changes. One of the neatest ones is instead of just having Theology 1, Theology 2, Theology 3, Theology 4, break them up into the components and name them, much like the bishops are still working on.
Yeah.
And then what you do is as you get by the time you're in a junior year, there are really 10 components, 10 semesters worth, and unfortunately you only have 8 semesters of learning. But if you make those other 5, the students can pick. Now they're choosing their faith. They're picking an interest. It's no longer just transmitting. They are actually taking choice and taking action in their faith. Yeah. It's that those dynamics.
Do you the two of you see what is happening here? Others from the outside looking in and saying, gee, maybe we should start talking, looking at these ideas. You think this is going to set a model for the future?
Absolutely a model for the future.
Yeah.
Yes, and part of it will be in a year or two that we will have, just like I've talked to the president of Garen, and he's been very, very supportive and said, come on over, because as you know, Mother Garen and Holy Cross merged.
Sure.
And let us explain what some of the good things and some of the bumps in the road were.
Yeah.
And the same for us. We can use these role models for everybody else to maybe make those bumps not things that are going to preclude anybody from taking advantage of all kinds of sharing opportunities.
This is going to start in August of next year, so
yes.
August of 2009. Mm-hmm. As you move forward, are there going to be ways to or formal ways to evaluate how it's working, and then are you going to be able to make the necessary adjustments as you move forward?
There's a couple of key components for being able to get through this transition. One, we have to be able to get our students who are currently at Notre Dame to want to go to the new school. So we've rolled out a complete plan of Christian service hours and volunteering at the new school, reading to the younger kids, coming together and building a committee for the students to be part of the new school and the renovations, as the same as the faculty and staff. Sharing masses and liturgies, spending events together, anything that we can do to get the students to embrace the new high school. That's the first part
of
the transition.
Grow naturally together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have this whole second semester to do that through the summer, and the kids are excited.
And you started that already?
Absolutely.
How's
we
the
started
reaction?
The planning.
Right.
Okay.
And we've brought together the kids and said, okay, now we get to market this new – they're getting all of this experience as interns, we call them. You get to market this new high school. You get to be part of recruiting for the new high school. Give us your thoughts. They are so excited to be – everyone in our community sees that we're building this together.
And it's a new beginning, truly, for both institutions because it's while there will be economic benefits, hopefully, for both that will make
there
the
will
two
be.
Of you stronger – there's also going to be opportunities that you probably, either of you, don't even foresee at this point until
Correct.
After you actually start it.
And we also meet on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Father Torba is part of that also as pastor. Mm-hmm. So that we can, we call it the transition meetings, so that we can start very carefully just giving the time just to work on the, and then really we wanted to enjoy Advent, the season of Advent and Christmas, and then roll up our sleeves and start saying, okay, what do we need to do in January?
And a perfect time this is for such a new birth, if you will, the third week of Advent, because your students, the parents of your students, the faculty, the administrators have all played a role in making this happen and bringing you to today. And it's only going to get better, I think.
Every parent or parishioner or Notre Dame graduate alumni that comes with a concern, we write it down. And then we start to look at those. And because by doing that, that's going to help make us stronger to review. Yep. And there are a couple of concerns that we'll need to work through.
Sure, as there will be with anything. But it sounds like you've got all the right people in the right places, and the two of you should really be commended for this model, which hopefully will catch on and hopefully will get the word out to not only this archdiocese but across the country that things like this can work, that can make both strong, and the end product is going to be good for everybody. So
you
congratulations.
Know, as you came from Thank small you. Roots and grew, there are times when we need to just contract again and get really solid to grow again.
Excellent point. A great way to end the program. Dr. Lucine Mastelarez, who is the principal of St. Ferdinand School, and Kelly Jones, president of Notre Dame High School for Girls. It starts August 2009. Best of luck to both of you. It's going to be terrific. And come back and get in the future and tell us how it's going.
Thank you for having us. God bless you.
Special thanks this morning to Jasmine Kittos, who is our producer, and Jim Dish behind the controls. I'm Wayne Madjars. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on 950 AM Relevant Radio. Have a terrific day and enjoy this third week of Advent.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.